We are bringing together imperfect people in pursuit of a whole life. Welcome to the Pathfinder Church Message Podcast. This week, Dion shares his message from the Inspired Service.
So I've got one more story for us today. And the thing I love about this weekend, the thing I love about the stories that we hear is that they all encourage me to know that since God is at work, that means I'm never stuck. And for me, I don't know about you, feeling stuck is like the worst feeling in all of the world. And these stories just remind me that I'm not stuck, that the same God who's at work in people's stories all throughout time, the Bible stories that we just sang about, but the stories of people here today, because God is at work in their stories and he's the same God, he's at work in my story too. And there's always more whole life out there just waiting for me. And so I've got this one more story. It's a story of a man who started following Jesus at a relatively young age. And not only did he start following Jesus, but also at a relatively young age, he became a leader in the church. And he was a gifted man. He had lots of good things going for him. He was driven and loyal and sincere and passionate. He was also an imperfect man. He was kind of hot-headed and impatient and proud and overconfident sometimes. And so as he grew into a leader, unlike how we often expect from leaders in our culture, that leaders should be perfect people or more perfect than everyone else, the fact that he was moved into a leadership position in the Church of Jesus did not mean that he suddenly became perfect. He remained, as we say here at Pathfinder, an imperfect person in pursuit of a whole life. But he made some big mistakes. In fact, there was a particularly shameful moment where he, this leader in the church, he was put in this really difficult position. He was in front of a hostile group of people, an angry mob, if you will. And they were pressuring him to acknowledge whether or not he was a follower of Jesus. And it wasn't just like pressure. He knew that if he answered and admitted that he was a follower of Jesus, it would go bad for him. It could result in bodily harm or worse. And so although he loved Jesus, although he followed Jesus sincerely, he was overwhelmed by the pressure of the situation, overwhelmed by fear. And this leader of the church, this follower of Jesus, he caved under the pressure and he denied even knowing Jesus at all. Not once, but three times. Now, if you know your New Testament, if you know the Gospels, maybe you know that the guy I'm talking about is a guy by the name of Peter. Some of you thought I was talking about me. Peter is the guy we're talking about. Peter, again, this follower of Jesus, this guy who became a leader in the church, also a guy who throughout the scriptures experienced moments of great failure. I'm really grateful for Peter's story. Because Peter's story reminds me that, yeah, leaders aren't perfect people, but it also reminds me of something else. It reminds me of the tenderness of God. The thing I love most about Peter's story, and specifically this story of failure where he denied Jesus three times, is I love how Jesus came to him after that moment, how tenderly Jesus came to help Peter move forward from his failure. You see, after that moment where Peter denied Jesus three times, and it was the night before Jesus was crucified. So it's a critical time in Jesus' life. Peter denies him three times. Jesus is crucified. Jesus is raised again, of course, on the third day. And then Jesus appears to his disciples. And Jesus is you know, extending peace to them, letting them know there's no hard feelings, that everything's okay, that he is truly the Son of God. Their faith wasn't in vain. And yet for Peter, he couldn't get over this sense of failure and disappointment in himself. Because again, like, you know, leaders can disqualify themselves in all kinds of ways, and especially faith leaders, often it's a moral disqualification, you know, some moral failure that throws them out of leadership. But you have to admit that although this doesn't seem like a big deal, if your job as a church leader is to tell the world about Jesus, and you deny knowing Jesus at all, that's kind of a big deal, right? I mean, that's a career-ending failure. And so Peter, he feels the weight of this failure. Even after Jesus rises again from the dead and appears to him, he feels this weight of failure, and he assumes that he's disqualified. That, yeah, once maybe Jesus saw something in him that was of value and called him to leadership, but he had messed up beyond any restoration. That the dream was over. It was time for him to go back to his old life. And in fact, that's what we're going to look at next. We're going to look at a moment shortly after the resurrection of Jesus in John chapter 21, where Peter essentially goes back to his old life, back to his home, back to his old job as a fisherman. And Jesus tracks him down in that spot. And there's a powerful interaction that takes place. Here it is. Simon Peter said, by the way, I've been calling him Peter. His birth name is Simon. Jesus gave him this name, Peter. So you'll see it Simon, sometimes Peter, Simon Peter. Sometimes he's even called Cephas, which is another variation of Peter, but that's the guy. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told his friends, some of the other disciples. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now get this. Here's a guy who's failed at being a church leader. He's like, well, I'm gonna go back to what I used to do, where I was successful in my old life. That dream is dead. I'm just gonna go back. And he gets in a boat, and all night long, he catches nothing. Failure on top of failure. Just what a discouraging moment. But early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, another one of the disciples, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as Simon Peter heard him say that, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water, and he swims to shore. And we're going to jump ahead a few verses. After Simon Peter gets on shore, and they look at this huge haul of fish, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, at this point, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord now. And Jesus came, and he took the bread that he had brought, and he gave it to them, and the same with some of the fish that they had caught. This was now the third time Jesus appears to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished eating, now pay attention to this, this is the moment. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, come on, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, notice what's going on here. Jesus asked him this question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Not once, but how many times? Three times. How many times did Peter deny knowing Jesus the night of his crucifixion? Three. And this is not Jesus badgering him, saying, hey, you deny me three times, you got to admit me three times, you're like, acknowledge me three times, you got to make up for it. This is some sort of recompense or something. Like, no. Instead, I want you to notice what Jesus says to him each time. Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, I love you. And what does Jesus say back to him each time? Some variation of, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, feed my lambs. In other words, Peter, lead my people. See, this is such a profound and healing moment for me. First of all, because as I said, Jesus is so tender, right? I mean, when you mess up big time, isn't this the kind of tenderness you hope from the people that you have sinned against? Jesus doesn't come and he doesn't shame him or rub his nose in his failure. Instead, Jesus is just so tender. And as one who has messed up and will continue to mess up, messing up in my relationships with people, but also my relationship with God, I'm so grateful to know that this, the same God who is so tender with Peter is going to be tender with me. And I hope you know that too. But there's also some deep theology here in this moment. Because again, Peter, he's all caught up in his failures and his weakness and his hang-ups, in other words, his performance. And he assumes that because he hasn't performed well, because he's failed, that he's been disqualified from being a leader in Jesus' church. And Jesus says, Peter, none of that matters. In fact, there's only one question that matters. The question is, do you love me? Peter says, yes, of course, you know. And Jesus says, then that's enough. What are you doing in that fishing boat? Hang up your nets. Get back to work. I hope if you know anything about me, assuming you've been around here for a little bit, if you know anything about me, I hope one thing that you know about me is that I love Jesus. And the truth is I can't help but love Jesus. Because not only did he die for me 2,000 years ago, and sometimes we see that as the end, but for me, that's the beginning. That's where Jesus demonstrates his character and his goodness to all of us. And for me, the reason I love Jesus is because he came into my life at a young age and into a pretty rough situation, into a pretty broken situation, and he loved me well. And he guided me through some really hard things, some things that I really, really could have broken me, and yet he lovingly shepherded me through those things, and he's been good to me. As we're going to sing in a little bit, all my life you've been faithful, all my life you've been so, so good. And every time I sing the words to that song, I remember that life has not always been good, and it's not been easy, and there have been moments where I've wondered, God, where are you? Are you here? Are you faithful? Are you good? And yet he keeps showing me over the course of my life that he is, that he is. And so I hope if you know anything about me, you know that I love Jesus, because how could I not after all that he's done for me? And I take such great comfort today that my qualification as a leader doesn't depend on my ability to make excellent decisions or to do everything right or to be morally perfect or leader perfect. I'm so grateful to know that in this moment between Jesus and Peter, the only thing that Jesus requires of the man on whom he's going to build his church is the answer to this one simple question: do you love me? See, that's healing to my heart as a leader, but it doesn't just apply to leaders in the church. I also hope that you understand today what Jesus is saying to you. He's saying that the criterion for belonging is pretty simple. Do you love him? If so, then you belong who you are today as you are. Don't let anyone tell you that you've got to become something different. You've got to become a more perfect version of yourself before you can belong fully to Jesus, before he'll set his affection on you. You see, there is no achievement test. There is no IQ test. And thank God, there is no background check. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to belong to the family of God, apparently for Jesus, the only question that matters, the only question that matters is the question he asked Peter: do you love me? And if you can answer that affirmatively, then right as you are, who you are today, you belong. See, if that was true for Simon Peter, who later was invited to be this great leader in the church, then it's got to be true for us, because we're talking about the same God. And don't let anyone ever tell you different. But here's what I also love about this story. It's not only this promise of belonging, just with the answer to a simple question, but here's what I also love. I love this picture and this reassurance that like Peter, like me, you are not finished yet. That you are a work in progress. So that's what we heard in all of our our stories today, people who are just taking steps on their journey, and God is moving. And we heard some big things. You know, two different people have been baptized in the last year, and yet we're all just taking steps on our journey. And that's really important for us to remember. Just because the only thing required for us to be invited into a love relationship with Jesus is the answer to the simple question, that doesn't mean that we get to retire from the work of growth. It doesn't mean we get to ride off into the sunset. It doesn't mean that we can say, like Popeye the Sailor Man once said, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. Yeah, it's true that we are who we are, and God loves us and accepts us right as we are. We don't have to change or be different to earn his love. But the fact is that who we are today, man, God loves you too much to leave you being that person for the rest of your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a vision for your life. And he wants to grow you into the fullest expression of who he knows that you can be. See, that's the rest of Peter's story. Peter has moments of utter failure, and they're recorded in Scripture. And yet, over time, because he loves Jesus, something happens. Peter grows, and he changes, and he evolves. And although he never becomes a perfect leader, he becomes a better leader, and he becomes this man who becomes one of the most prominent leaders in the church. He learns what we say here at Pathfinder often, that where I am is okay, even though there's farther to go, right? Where I am is okay. I don't need to be anywhere else except right where I am, and God doesn't require anything of me other than to be right where I am, who I am today. But just because that's true, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have more steps for me to take on my journey. And you see, that's the gift of belonging. That's the power of belonging to Jesus and to his church. The fact that it just requires something so simple, the simple answer to a question, do you love me? That means that now the pressure is off. You don't have to prove yourself worthy of love or of acceptance. You don't have to try to survive anymore. Now you're free to grow. And whoever it is that God has in mind for you to be. See, we sometimes get this wrong. We think it's pressure that causes people to grow. There's even this old adage that, you know, says you take a lump of carbon and you put it under a lot of pressure and heat, and that lump of carbon will turn into a diamond. And although there's truth that sometimes in pressure situations we can dig deep, we can discover things about ourselves, or certainly we see God come through for us and we can learn more about his faithfulness, the truth is that what makes a lump of carbon into a diamond that will crush a person, that's not a good philosophy of human development. If you put a human being under constant pressure all the time, they won't turn into a diamond, they'll end up stunted. My wife has a younger cousin, and from a young age, she was really good at gymnastics. This girl would train for hours in the gym every day, and this continued all the way through high school. And so, like a lot of gymnasts, you know, she's in high school, junior, senior in high school, and she's like 4 foot nothing, just like this little tiny thing. And then she kind of realized like she was never going to make it as a national champion or an Olympic contender someday. And so she stopped training the 5 hours a day, and she started to look into some other interests. And the moment she stopped training so hard, she grew 6 inches in a matter of months. See, we think pressure is the way that we'll grow, and we put pressure on people around us. We put pressure on ourselves. That's not Jesus's model for growth. And so what does Jesus do? He comes to Peter and doesn't heap on a bunch of pressure or expectation or make Peter grovel. Instead, he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I love you, and I'm a mess, but I love you. And Jesus says, okay, we can work with that. You see, Jesus wants to bring to you today the freedom to be who you are, as you are, right where you are, so that you can continue to grow. And isn't that what works for our kids? If you put your kids under constant pressure all the time and they feel like they always have to measure up, I mean, it'll break them. It'll never cause them to grow. Or in marriages, I mean, marriage has the potential to be the most transformational relationship, human relationship of your life. But if the marriage dynamic is you better do better in order to earn my love or affection, then that will stunt a person. When we know we're loved, when we know we're accepted as we are for who we are today, that gives us then the freedom to grow. And so I want you to be so clear on that today. And today, I want to ask you an important question, the most important question of your life. Just like we heard today, I want to ask you the question, do you love Jesus? And you can feel free to answer that out loud. And here's what I want you to know, that's enough. That means you belong to the family of God. Who knows, God may be calling you to be a leader in his church or a leader in some other sphere. That's enough. That basis of love is enough to give you a solid foundation to keep growing into the person that God has in mind for you to be. Today when you came in, and those of you online too, hopefully you grabbed one of these, you grabbed a rock. And if you missed one, we're gonna have volunteers come through and you'll be able to grab one in a second. What I did not tell you is that the name Peter, this nickname that Jesus gave a guy named Simon, Peter, it literally means rock. And Jesus gave him that name, and it was kind of ironic at the time, because here is this you know, temperamental, impulsive, hot-headed, angry, fearful failure of a man, this inconsistent man. And Jesus looks at him and he says, I've got a vision for your life. You're going to become a rock on whom I will build my church. No human being ever would have said that about Simon, son of John, but Jesus saw something in him and knew that a foundation of love would be enough to transform Peter's life. So here's what I want to do today. In a minute, we're going to give you some time. And you, if you feel moved, are going to be invited to bring this rock forward. You see, some of them are already here from last night up on the front of the platform. And we're going to invite you to place your rock down on the platform. And here's what that means for you. Two things. First, as you place your rock down, first and foremost, this is your personal declaration that you love Jesus. And maybe even as you put it down, you say those words, Jesus, I love you. And that's a reminder that if you love Jesus, that's all that's really needed. That's the foundation for everything else in your life. But here's the second declaration you're making. Yes, first, I love Jesus. The second declaration is, Lord, whatever vision you have for my life, whoever you see that I could yet be, I surrender my own visions, my own insecurities, my own hangups, and Lord, I'm open to whoever it is you want me to be, okay? Jesus, I love you. First declaration, and that's the foundation for everything else. But Lord, whatever vision you have, if you see me as a rock on whom you'll do some great thing, Lord, have your way. I'm open. I want to grow in whatever way you have in mind for me. So our musicians are going to come out and we're going to sing a song. And anytime during the song, and you should not feel pressured to do this. If you're not at a place in your relationship with Jesus where you are ready to do this, that's okay. Don't do anything that feels forced or hypocritical. But if you're ready, we're not going to dismiss you or invite you forward. Just whenever you find the time, and it's a big wide platform, come and have a moment between you and God. A declaration of love and a declaration of openness. Here's what I also want to invite you to do during this next moment. You can participate in this, or you can just go over to the side of the sanctuary over here. We've got a couple staff members. I see Lisa and Jeremy over there, as well as a couple of our pastors. If you have never been baptized, I want you to understand what baptism is. Baptism is yeah, it's you declaring your love for Jesus, but more important, that's God in heaven saying over you, saying, you are mine. You're my daughter or you're my son. I love you and I'm pleased with you. I delight in you just as you are who you are today. If you've never received that gift, I want you to have it because it is the foundation for a life worth living and everything else. So here's what you can do when we're having this moment. We're singing songs. If you want to bring your rock forward, you can do that, or you can just beeline over to the side of the sanctuary and talk to one of our staff people. Even if there's an inkling in your heart, if you've never been baptized, that today should be the day, we want to invite you to at least go and have a conversation, because all of us should live with that assurance that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we are loved as we are, and He is pleased with us in spite of all of our imperfections. He delights in us. Now, not to confuse things further, but one more thing. If you've been baptized before, we acknowledge there's only need for one baptism, but if you're at a season in your life where you just need to be reminded of God's love for you, of your belonging to Him, of His delight in you, we won't rebaptize you, but you can head over to the side of the sanctuary too and talk to our staff over there. We'd love to invite you into a baptismal reaffirmation or remembrance where you just get to hear that promise of God again and reconnect with the words God spoke over you maybe a long time ago. So you've got your rocks. At some point during the next song, you can make your declaration and then head back to your seats. Or if you want to explore baptism or a reaffirmation, head over to the side wall. Here's your moment. Make good on it.
Thanks for listening to the Pathfinder Church Message Podcast. If you'd like to hear more messages like this, hit the subscribe button. You can also find resources at our website, pathfinderstl.org.